Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Brandon Phoenix, a.k.a. I Also Hate Pitt, joined by Chris Hall of West Virginia Sports Illustrated. This is the Raspy Boys Kids Podcast. You are now tuned into I Got Five on It. It's time to get our five in. Five statements or questions. We will give you five fill-in-the-blank answers. Jordan, spin that beat.
Welcome back, RVK Nation, to another edition of I Got Five on It with the Raspy Voice Kids. I'm your host, Jordan Tycuri, and let's get things kicked off with the first blank. Listening to Neil Brown's Texas Tech post-game presser left me feeling blank.
Empathetic for Neil Brown. And I say that laughing because empathetic for his frustration. I do get to see them practice in the fall and watch how they are coached. And you see those, especially on defense, you see those guys get sucked in on what the offense is doing, whether it's motion, and you know what they're supposed to do in that situation, and they don't do it because they get suckered into the eye candy. So when he's getting frustrated, I feel empathetic because I know, but that's probably about it. Frustration along with empathy for his frustration.
Listening to Neil Brown's Texas Tech post-game presser left me feeling vindicated. There were a lot of people who wanted to celebrate the Baylor victory like West Virginia had turned some kind of corner. And I knew then, as I knew before, and as I know now, West Virginia is not where they need to be with Neil Brown. Neil Brown is not the guy, in my estimation. And that press conference post-Texas Tech left me feeling vindicated.
Number two, the injury play will have blank effect on the TCU game.
I want to say a little effect because I don't give them much chance if they are fully healthy. I mean, of course, I always give them a little chance in Morgantown, but it's obviously going to have a big effect on it. But even if they were healthy, I don't think it would make that big of a difference in this game.
The injury plague will have no real effect on the TCU game. I think the outcome is the outcome. Being at home will have the bigger impact than anything else. But no matter what, I don't think it's going to make enough of a difference for what's really going to matter when it comes to Texas Christian University this Saturday.
Number three, after JT Daniels' rough outing, I feel blank about JT Daniels moving forward.
I feel no different about JT. He's been who he's been. He usually puts the ball in the right places, right situations, pressed a little bit at Texas Tech. They had that length on the outside, but there's nothing. That game doesn't tarnish what he can be and what he's done this season.
After JT's rough outing, I feel nonplussed about JT Daniels moving forward. I don't feel any different. JT Daniels is a talent, for sure, but he's not going to make a difference for this offense in any significant way as far as winning games because they don't have the pieces to the puzzle that they need to be as successful as they're going to need to be to make up for this defense. So I feel nonplussed.
Number four, winning the secret scrimmage against Dayton means blank.
Very little. A lot of those scrimmages, they just throw a lot of guys out there. It doesn't really matter. It's not a bad thing that they win, but it really means nothing to me.
Winning the secret scrimmage against Dayton means absolutely nada. I'm going Spanish on y'all. It means nada. Means nothing to me. What difference does it make? First of all, it's Dayton. Not the Flyers do put out a good product usually, but they're not a Big 12 basketball team. This is not regular season. A lot of players did not play. It means nothing to me. So I don't take anything away from it.
Number five, the offensive failures against Texas Tech are on blank.
Everybody, players, coaches, players got to make plays, but the coaches, they have to get them in better position and you have to make better adjustments at halftime.
The offensive failures against Texas Tech are on Neil Brown. The buck stops with Neil Brown. The defensive failures, the offensive failures, the failure of the program is on Neil Brown. And if you're upset about that, go check the bank account. He's getting paid for it to be his triumph or his failure. Right now, it's on him. Well, that's it. You got five from the RVK plus Chris Hall. Get at your boys. Let us know what you think. But right now, it's time to move on to Going In.
Rapid Boys!
More than 100 schools available from Home Field Apparel. If you like comfortable clothes, check them out. They are a partner with the Raspy Voice Kids and the 1012 Network. Use our code RASPY12, RASPY12, for a discount on your first order. 15%. Go get it. Tell them we sent you.
Boom. Bosco's Boys is here. I think we all wanted it. And the marriage is officially official. I'm so pumped to bring my show to the 1012 Network. Bosco's Boys, the most consistent K-State podcast out there. Over 4 years with at least one episode a week. Bringing live shows to the listeners and to the participants every Wednesday at 7 p.m. I'm pumped to be here, and I would love it if you guys came over to Bosco's Boys and gave us a listen. Because we are not Big J Journos. This is a podcast by a fan and his dog for fellow K-State and Big 12 fans. And I can't wait to chop it up with all the members and fans of the 1012 Network.
Rat me boys!
I'm going in, I'm going in, I'm going in, I'm going in.
And I'ma go hard, and I'ma go hard, and I'ma go hard.
I'm going in, we're going in. The RVK featuring Chris Hall this week in Jeremy's absence. Yes, pulling out for Jay. We miss him, of course. Nothing bad happened, and he just couldn't make it this week. You know, he's a busy man. He's got a lot going on. But this week, we want to address what happened in the Texas Tech game. A lot of people complaining about the defensive formations, the defensive alignment, especially on fourth down against Texas Tech. Can you clue us in about what happened when Texas Tech was lining up with two receivers stacked, with us having only one defensive back lined up on them on either side?
So, I mean, obviously it's fourth and two. Your initial thought is that most teams are probably going to run the ball or, you know, get the ball out quick. The lineup issue, a lot of the times when you line up on the outside, when they have two stacks like that, you can go about it one of two ways. You can put a corner up on that first blocker and try to push them back into it. Or you can have two out there, kind of split the difference. But regardless, when you have two out there, the guys are going to have to make a play. Yes, there's only one man to beat, but they have to make the play. They're just not making the play. Most of the reason why they're not up there is they're just outmanned outside, is why they're a lot of times they're not doing press coverage. You can live and die by it And on that fourth and two, the offense coordinator they were going with, not that familiar with him. He was the guy that coached Zappe, just threw a couple touchdowns in the Monday night game. Bailey Zappe for the Patriots. He's a really good offensive coordinator. They understood that. So if you go up and press and that first receiver, he slips off that block, all it is a toss and catch. You can put a safety on the outside over top with those two receivers, but at least you're lighting the box with five if you're doing it on both sides. So even if you do it on one side where you think it's going, then you're only six in the box on fourth and two. So it's kind of like where you're at in college football. They spread everybody out. That's why you're seeing these scores. That's why you're seeing these crazy fourth down numbers, because it's hard to guard that if you can win those matchups one-on-one on the outside. West Virginia just is not winning those matchups. They've said it time and time in post games. They're just kind of nice about it because they're not really throwing their players under the bus. But when you say you're not winning your matchups, that's what happens. So that's really what's going on. It's just they're not winning on the outside. And you saw Texas Tech, they jumped out to that early nothing lead and they settled down. If West Virginia offense can score, then maybe you can put them in a bind offensive where they have to feel the pressure, where they have to score every drive and you put the pressure on them. But that just did not happen.
Yeah, there was no pressure. We didn't score. Offensively, we didn't get it done. They played a lot of man coverage. Like you said, they had length on the outside, and our receivers did not respond well to it. Their defenders,
they haven't. None of these receivers through their time here have handled it correctly, like at all. Like at all. So I've seen them coach differently, and you've seen them do it right in games, but I don't know what it is, but they just always revert back to those old habits.
It's weird. It's not weird. It's what it is.
Like, it's frustrating to watch. I know that. I think everyone feels that frustration.
Yeah. When you've got guys that on paper look like they have the talent because they have the speed, they have the size, Bryce Ford, Wheaton making contested catches, and then when it comes down to it, they don't go up and get the ball, or they can't get separation to where JT Daniels has a better window to throw in. It's frustrating. So, I mean, that's where we are. But that's where we are under Neil Brown. Mm-hmm. Like, they haven't done it under his tenure.
They haven't. And I think, you know, if you're going from the coaching perspective, what's frustrating is they recognize their failures after the game. And, yes, they'll correct it the next time, but, like, you got to make those in-game adjustments. When things aren't going well, you got to fix it immediately, because then it ends up being 48-10. You know, in the case at Texas, you know, they thought that they could go down and they took the ball. They thought they could go down and score, put the points on the board. And like I said, with the offense, they thought they could put pressure on that backup quarterback by putting an early seven on the board. They went three and out, completely backfired, and it just snowballed. So you try to mix it up, you try to have faith, and every decision it seems like he's made is just backfired, and a lot of it is in-game adjustments. I'm not seeing it offensively, and I haven't seen it since he's been here.
Nope, I agree. You get no argument from me, and to be honest, I'm done with the Texas Tech game. Let's put it to bed. Like Jeremy would say, put it in a bag, beat it with a stick, throw it on the road.
Burn it, bury it.
It's time for TCU and the Horned Frogs. They come to Morgantown this Saturday. We get them at noon. What do you think about this game? The line is only 7.5 last I saw.
That's respect for Morgantown, is what that line is. There is. I mean, of course, TCU has haters, and most of them come from the state of Texas. And the big knock on TCU right now is they've faced a lot of teams that's been banged up. They got to meet Kansas without their starting quarterback. I think they knocked out Oklahoma's quarterback. I think they beat up Spencer Sanders. Whatever. Everyone's banged up this time of year. So regardless, they're 7-0. They're very good. They're a good team, but no one should be discrediting what they're doing. They're physical, and they can spread it around. They've got playmakers. They've got a couple running backs. They've got receivers. They've got go down the list. Patterson definitely didn't leave that cover dry. He's had a great foundation there for years. They just need another spark, and maybe it's just momentum. They caught it early. Maybe they are catching the right teams at time, but TCU is definitely talented, and they are a handful.
Offensively, they are. I believe they've got 14 40-plus yard plays on the season. They're very explosive. Max Duggan, I saw, was fourth in a straw poll for the Heisman, which is crazy. I don't think anybody would have predicted that preseason. I like our chances against Max Duggan, to be honest. I'm not saying we're going to win, but I like our chances. I like the game to be closer than what the experts think. I predicted this morning, or Wednesday morning on WTAP, 44-37. TCU win.
The same problem you had at Texas Tech, you're going to run in with Sonny Dykes. He's very good at that cat and mouse game. Very good. It's really going to be about Western Virginia's offense. You got to make them feel pressure on the road. You got to make them feel like they have to score. And hopefully your defense can create enough chaos to maybe cause a turnover, get an easy score that way. That's really what you're hoping for with this team. You just got to hope, just pretty much like in 2012, that your offense can score enough and put enough pressure on the opposition to get them out of their comfort zone, to get them to press and maybe force something that they normally wouldn't with a 2 or 3 touchdown lead. So that's basically what you're hoping for. This is a very, very good TCU team. I don't know how they're going to find pressure. This is a very good offensive line. It's a big, strong offensive line. No surprise. Run into it every week in the Big 12. And they have a strong running game. They got two really good running backs. I know Miller gets a lot of love, but I think it's Evans back there with him. He's just as good. They're very dynamic. They're going to have explosive plays everywhere. I don't know if it's defense. I don't even know, so much of this defense right now is just trying to keep things in front of them and force them. Again, it's just going to have to be so much of this offense. And that defense isn't bad for TCU. It's just when, everything's a track meet. We kind of talked about it. It's just you're forcing – when you score so much – the opposition is obviously going to have to try to score, and they're going to throw it a lot. So they're they're still an opportunistic defense like they were under Patterson.
Yeah. Like Jeremy said, and I totally agreed the moment he said it, opportunistic defense means you stink. TCU ranks in a lot of statistical categories near the bottom of the nation defensively. They're not very good. So I don't respect them a lot. The other thing that's important for what we're going to try, what we have to do as WVU.
I would say don't fall victim to that, because Texas Tech's defense statistically isn't great, but that length on the outside causes problems, obviously, for West Virginia. It doesn't mean that they're going to go playoff contending defense, but for West Virginia, that's a problem.
Yeah, I agree. It's up to us to figure out how to beat it, but it's beatable, I guess is what I'm saying. It's beatable.
Oh, it's very beatable. Absolutely very beatable.
One important thing is the turnover battle. Jeremy made a note that every time we win this year, every time we've won the turnover battle. Two times. Every time we lose, we lost the turnover battle. That's three times. When we tie, we're 1-1. One, I believe, was Virginia Tech. The other one was Texas. So turnover battle is a big deal. Before, under Neil Brown, it was always if we rushed for 100 yards or more, we would win the game. Now it seems to be about turnovers, which is the truth for most teams. I would say that that is a misleading statistic, because I don't care how many turnovers we had, we weren't beating Texas. And I feel the same way about Texas Tech. Turnovers made a difference maybe in the final score, but I don't think they would have made a difference in the outcome. What do you think about that?
It's what you do with the turnovers that matter. Bingo. You can get 4 turnovers, but if you're going for it on 4th and 10 from the 50 for whatever reason, and you just throw a deep ball and hope for a pass interference or maybe win the battle, and it gets intercepted, that's a punt. That's a turnover. So it depends on the turnover and what you do with it. So if you're causing turnovers back deep in their own territory and you put it in the end zone, then it matters. It definitely matters. And I think even if you get it at midfield or you spring it loose deep, as they're getting ready to score, go down and flip it, to a 14-point advantage your way. So much of that is what you do with turnovers. If you go back to the Pitt game, West Virginia didn't score on any of those turnovers. They got one to turn the tide, and they threw it right back to them. So
immediately.
Immediately. Well, they didn't throw it. It was a fumble, but
it was a fumble, yeah.
And they went right, and they went down and scored on that. So I mean, it matters. So you have to take advantage of those turnovers, and obviously you have to create them. You know, they had one slip through their hands again last week, and how many fumbles were on the ground. So there is something to that set. Obviously, you want to take care of the ball, but if you don't do anything with it, it's just like stopping them. If you force them to punt and three and outs, but you don't take advantage of the field position, what good did it do you?
It's a frustrating thing because, you know, we never can put together the two sides of the ball. You know, with Neil Brown, we've been having good defenses, just inept offense. Then we figured out how to have a good offense this year, and our defense failed us. This last game against Texas Tech, nothing worked. I see a lot of people talking about Jordan Leslie. I personally am not anti-Jordan Leslie. The product hasn't been good this year, but I think it's more about the Jimmys and Joes than the X's and O's. When you're small and slow, you're not going to be good. Period. I don't care who's calling the defense. I don't care if it's Buddy Ryan in 1985. You're not going to be good on defense if your guys are small and slow. Am I off base there, Chris?
No, not at all. And you bring up small, you have to think about that as well. 11 P5 schedule, when you're the undersized team every week, you see the injuries piling up. Like, it, even when the guys aren't on the injury list, they're banged up. Like, they're getting beat up. And that's part of the inconsistency right there. And why they can't match it on the road. I mean, you go across the offense and defensive lines. When they played Texas, they played 2 360-pound nose guards. When Baylor came to Morgantown, I was like, all right, I got to see this 360-pound nose guard. And I walked down there. He was hard to find. There was a lot of big guys down there that you could say, is he 360? Is he 360? And I'm not saying a few. I'm talking like dozen easily. Everybody on that defense and offensive line was huge. And then when you walked down to West Virginia, you were like, yeah, well, this is over. And I don't even know how that they won because of the turnovers at the end of the game. That's how they won. They did not physical them. They didn't push them around. They're a lot smaller than everybody else. So there's a lot. And if you can't retain the talent that you lost off the defense, and you're plugging in guys that, look, they're in the program a couple more years. You could probably rely on them a little more. But it's just they are completely overmatched, just like they've been for the last few years.
Yeah, so that's where we are. Like, RVK, I'm not sitting here absolving Jordan Leslie of – I'm not going to tell you that he hasn't made mistakes or that he's been perfect. I'm not saying that. But I don't think it's his fault. I definitely think he's put a good product on the field the last, you know, for most of his time here. You can excuse him when he doesn't have his guys. You can make the argument about whether or not he's involved or how much responsibility is his as far as retaining talent. But I ultimately put it on Neil Brown. Neil Brown gets the credit when we have good recruiting classes, so he should get the blame when we lose talent to the transfer portal as well. That's how I see it. And ultimately, if Neil Brown loses his job, more than likely Jordan Leslie will too. So it's up to both of them to figure it out, and they better figure it out fast. Because the fan base, for the most part, is done with him. The brass doesn't seem to be finished yet. So we're going to have to wait and see what actually happens.
Yeah, it's honestly an interesting time, because it's obviously the plan has been from the beginning. And, I mean, it's not like he kept it from Shane Lyons. From Neil Brown's perspective, his thought is, we're going to build from the ground up. We're not using JUCO. We're not going to spend half our scholarships on JUCOs and transfers. We want to build with freshmen, especially up front, because they're not going to get the 4 and 5 stars that are going to be immediate impact. They have to develop. And, you know, he's probably, and rightfully so to a degree, probably getting a little bit of pass right now because of the pandemic. When you have a bunch of young guys and you miss pretty much 2 years of offseason to develop and get those guys bigger, it's a problem. So I don't know how long that's going to last. That's going to slide. But no matter what, you got to get bigger and you got to find some playmakers, because you said it, it's the Jimmys and Joes at the end of the day. And right now, I think as fans, as a lot of people, so much emphasis is on the coaching. And like you said, look at the checking account, right? Like, he's getting paid, figure it out. They're just not there yet. I don't know what, you know, if you bring in the next coach, what's the plan? You know, are you going to have money to buy players? Are you going to have money to retain players? Like, there's a lot more questions that need done for the whole plan than just what's going on in the field. So maybe a new coach is the right answer. Maybe it's not. Maybe there's no money. But I guess we're going to find out some answers this offseason.
Well, this is not acceptable. As long as we all are on the same page, this is not acceptable.
Right. Like, I don't think anyone's accepting this. But I
think there are people who are accepting it, Chris. There are plenty of people who are acting like this is acceptable. It's part of the process that we are headed in the right direction. And my argument is we're not.
I can tell you on my feed, I am not seeing anyone accepting it. I haven't seen any of that on my feed. Of course, it's a little different, but yeah, I see a lot of negativity, and I'm not trying to defend anything. It's just that's what I'm seeing is a lot of negativity. And you can't not say, well, why are you being negative when you just got shellacked 48-10?
And as far as NIL buying players, NIL, they got to figure that out. Ohio State, I use them often. They're the poster child. Ryan Day came out and said he needed $13 million for the current roster. The administration, the people in charge of Ohio State football are working with the collectives, with the boosters, to raise the money for NIL at Ohio State. Same thing happening at other universities throughout the nation. West Virginia right now is handicapping what their collective can do in working with the administration, working with the staff. Who can do what? Who can say what? How they can raise money? Until that's figured out, we're gonna be fine.
This offseason matters. Like, this matters. Like, you're right. Like, this matters. Like, you have to figure this out. You can't be, oh gosh, gee, we're going to do things the right way. Well, what's the right way?
What's the right way? First of all, there's no
what do you
wild
mean?
West right now, for the most part. For one,
it's nothing but the Wild West.
For that's what's going on right now. So you're behind, which is typical, in my opinion, is typical West Virginia. Not typical West Virginia University, not typical West Virginia football, typical the state of West Virginia. We're always behind the eight ball. And it's got to stop. And it's got to stop soon because it's really hurting us.
Yeah, we've
got to catch up.
It goes everywhere. The thing is, it's not just about going and buying the talent. Like, you know, Akeem Esidore is obviously talented, right? Like, he should have never – these players, especially an Akeem Esidore, should never want or need in this era. They should never – no one should be in their ear at all. As soon as someone comes in their ear, be like, no, I'm comfortable with West Virginia. We're good. We're good here. I got money in my pocket. That should be – like, you shouldn't be losing second-team all-conference players. Like, that shouldn't happen. So, and you lose a Porter, like, yeah, he wasn't a world beater, but another year in the system, some of the communication may be different. You know what I mean? Like, some of the errors that you're seeing may have changed. So you can't.
I argued that from the jump. When we lost Daryl Porter Jr., people were like, we're better off without him. I'm like, you're crazy. Just from a depth standpoint by itself, you're crazy.
Right, so
we lose Jackie Matthews. People act like that's not a big deal. You're crazy.
That was huge. And the thing is, like, we can sit here and say, well, they left for this reason, or they left for this reason, or that. Well, outside perception is it's money, right? Like, you ain't looking anywhere if you're good. If you're flush, you're not looking for another job, right? Like, if you're comfortable with your job, you ain't looking around. You're not updating your resume. They have to get to that point. You can't become the Pittsburgh Pirates of college football and become a farm team for the rest of the – for your competitors. Like, you're already behind because you're not – you know, one of the reasons Don Nealon was able to turn it around is when Penn State went and recruited a kid or Pitt went and recruited a kid at Pittsburgh, he could bring them to Morgantown and say, hey, you can go beat those guys next year. They overlooked you. Now you have your chance to go beat them. You don't have that anymore. So what are you offering? Your family, if you're recruiting locally, your family gets to only see half the games if they can make it to Morgantown, if they have the luxury. The rest of the games are halfway across the country. So what are they doing to separate themselves? And that's the questions that's going to have to be answered this year, and we'll find out as soon as they start hitting the portal.
I'm afraid we're going to lose a lot of players this offseason.
We'll see, because, I mean, these are high school kids, and the recruits are like, hey, we're staying here because of Neil Brown. We're staying committed because of Neil Brown. And that's not a fear of, well, let's get rid – if you get rid of Neil Brown, get players. No matter what, you're going to have players leave if a new coach. But you're going to have the same gaps with a new coach. Unless the new coach comes in and demands, like, hey, we got to work to do it. And if they listen, then fine. But then why aren't they doing it now?
So it takes vision. You got to get a guy with vision. Or girl. I don't care who it is. Guy, girl.
And everything publicly that Neil Brown has stated about NIL, he's open. But how open to what? Like, this vagueness has got to stop. Because when you have Texas Tech, and they're by no means a blue blood, when you have them giving players just for putting on the jersey for $25,000 a year, that's a problem because you're not doing that. And that's a team that's on your same level. And they just beat the hell out of you. So
I've had people tell us that we're given comparable numbers. And I said, if we're doing that, we're not promoting it enough. And that's a problem.
Then why would you not use that as a recruiting tool?
It's crazy.
That's terrible decision making. And again,
it's terrible marketing.
If you're trying to make it to your fan base, like, oh, we're not paying players. Well, that's everybody's paying their players. Like, everyone needs to get over that. That's been going on for decades anyway. It's just legal now. So, like, you need to get over this, like, facade, like, this good old, this is all.
Do you remember, by the way,
American?
Speaking of paying players, and it's been going on. Do you remember when Jock Sanders got a DUI, and he was in a brand new Dodge Charger?
Yeah, that was Noah Devine drove it around too.
I know that. I remember that, and everybody was worried about the DUI. But I was thinking, where'd he get the Charger?
Had them dealer tags.
But nobody talked about it. Anyway, that's old news. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah, none of that matters.
But let's move on. Okay, so now it's time to do a rundown on college football this weekend. What games are you looking forward to watching this weekend, Chris?
Well, I get the privilege of being at Skylar's wedding. So this is my first weekend that I've been so fortunate this year that I've got to watch a lot of college football. But since I don't really get to watch it, there's always some games I'll keep an eye on. So I'll give you – we'll just start off. I always like the world's largest cocktail party, which I think in the world we live in, they don't call it the world's largest cocktail party.
No,
I don't
know what they call it now.
But, hey, it's number one versus Florida. Rivalry games. Got to love rivalry games. Always expect the unexpected. And that one. That one's always a go-to. It's like the Red River rivalry, right? Like, it's just one of those mid-season rivalries you got to tune into.
Yeah, I like that. I also like Ohio State, Penn State. I like it better when it's at night, and I like it better when it's a whiteout up there in Happy Valley.
Happy Valley.
Yes.
You won't get me anything good to say anything about Penn State. Probably like I won't get you to say anything good about Ohio State.
No, no chance. Ohio State's
it'll be a good game. Though. It'll be a good game.
I don't think so. I think Ohio State wins by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Penn State's, but they've been struggling to score. They have not.
Yeah, they did okay against Minnesota, though. They put up some numbers against Minnesota.
Minnesota's been bad. They have been so disappointing. They started off strong.
Like Jeremy will tell you, Minnesota had a top 10 defense, one of the best defenses in the nation. Did you listen to that? You probably didn't even hear that. Jeremy kept saying that. He was going down the top 10 defenses in the nation. They're all from the Big Ten because – not because the defenses are that good, but because the Big Ten offenses are abysmal.
Yeah. Outside of Ohio State, they're the only one that really runs a spread.
Yep. Of course, you got our game.
I guess.
You got our game at noon. You've got Oklahoma State and Kansas State at 3:30, but I'm not that interested in that game because Adrian Martinez may not play. I think Oklahoma State wins that game easy. The game I'm looking forward to the most is UK and Tennessee at 7 o'clock Saturday night. That game could be a really good one. Will Levis, Hendon Hooker.
He's going to roll. Tennessee's going to roll. Kentucky, Kentucky's good. Stoops has definitely done – I mean, obviously, he's done a great job at Kentucky. But that Tennessee team, I tell you what, Heupel's got that offense all over the place. They're just flinging it around. You got to like Tennessee. I don't know if they've got enough to looking forward to that Georgia matchup, but I don't think that's going to – I think Tennessee's just going to run away with that one.
All right, well, that's what we got.
I mean, if you're looking at rivalry, Michigan State, Michigan, that always seems to turn out to be a good one. I like those midseason rivalry games that like kind of sleepy. There's one team that kind of dominating, but it's a rivalry. Never discount rivalries, especially yeah, big spread. Tucker, Michigan's up 23.
Mel Tucker and Michigan State beat them last year, and I just think Michigan remembers and won't let it happen again.
It takes one play to put doubt in them and remember that loss last year. It's all it takes.
All right,
no Pitt, North Carolina love. You're not gonna watch Pitt, North Carolina. It's at UNC.
Are you crazy? What about the NFL? What do you see on the schedule for Week 8?
Well, obviously, Patriots and Jets.
That actually, Jets, I mean, I think the Jets win that game.
5-2.
Yeah,
that's a rivalry game. You notice a theme here: rivalry. Jets, 5-2. That's a surprise, right? Patriots, 3-4, probably not really surprised to anybody. But, I mean, in the terms of that division history right there, the Jets can beat the Patriots even though it's at home. I mean, that's big for that franchise, especially to go to 6-2, and then all of a sudden you're in contention with Buffalo. Let's say talent is going to match, but I think that's a good matchup for – I think it's a fun matchup.
Then it's Geno time, Geno versus the Giants. Seahawks in New York at 4:25 on Sunday. Geno Roland in conversation for the NFL MVP. If he was pretty much anybody else, he would be talked about much at a much greater clip about being the MVP. The Giants, Dable's got him rolling right now. What do you think about that game?
That's a big one. Luckily, the Seahawks are at home, but man, that Giants team is tough and they are fun to watch.
They are.
I don't know if Geno's got the defense for this game. I'm going to be interested to see how he goes. That's a good Giants defense, too. He hasn't put up yards, really, the last two games. But man, he's been efficient. It'd be nice. I can't wait for this new NFL TV deal. It'd be nice to be able to watch these games on a regular, see how he's completely playing. But
I got Sunday tickets, and I watch him every Sunday.
That must be nice. Look at you, high class.
I knew you were going to say something.
Up in your ivory tower looking down on us all.
Hey, somebody's got to do it. The other game, the
Rams Niners. That's a good one for another division.
The Rams are garbage, man. I don't think the Rams are any good.
Lost some key pieces.
They lost some key pieces. They've had some injuries. And I think the Niners, I think they got it rolling against the Rams. Browns, Bengals.
Browns, Bengals. That's Bengals. Have you seen what they're doing now?
Any chance to watch Joe Burrow to Chase? I love it. Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow. I love it.
Yeah. I love that combo. That's going to be, hopefully they can keep that duo together. Luckily, they're friends. They've been at LSU, but money becomes an issue. That'll be that's a fun duo to watch in the future. Now that they're clicking, it's awesome.
Yeah. I totally agree. It's actually a pretty decent Sunday. Last week was a bad week for college football and for the NFL. This week's much better. I have to work, but I'll be taking my iPad, and hopefully there won't be any patience to bother.
How did we miss this one? An interstate rivalry. Steelers-Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, I feel
Steelers,
like, again,
Steelers are down bad, though. Steelers are down bad.
I think the Eagles roll.
See, I'm all, like – if anyone knows me personally, they know I hate the Steelers. But, man, I never count them out. Never. Especially, going right across there, the freeway there. Nope.
Yeah.
Don't count out the Steelers, man. Don't come up and bite you when you start to doubt them.
I feel like the Eagles have it going. Like, they really are. They're focused and they're serious.
They do. Jalen Hurts, I'm not saying – I'm 100% saying that the Eagles will probably roll, but I will never count out the Steelers.
I think that's fair.
While Tomlin's there, he does more with less every single year. Like, he always – they'll go down, like, two touchdowns, And 9 times out of 10, if they're down whatever it is at halftime, he's going to get within one possession by the end of the game. Every single time.
Except good game to watch Kaiser White, the Mountaineer connection, Kaiser White for the Eagles, Blake Stewart coaching for the Steelers. So that's a good game if you're a Mountaineer fan. A lot of Steeler fans listen to this show.
Eagles fans are loving Kaiser. Eagles fans loving Kaiser.
And rightfully so.
Yeah. He's having a good year.
Which, by the way, I said before it started that I thought Kaiser White was the best of the White brothers. And a lot of people clown me, but so far he's had the best career out of all of them.
And it's crazy, too. He moved to linebacker.
Yes.
He's not playing safety. He's linebacker.
Yes, he had. Yep.
He's an undersized linebacker
making moves.
What'd you say? I said he's an undersized linebacker making moves. I love it.
I love it, too. Playing with speed, playing with tenacity. That's all I got for this week's show. You got anything you want to add?
No. Nope.
Tell the people where they can find you and find your work.
You can find me at WV Hallbilly on Twitter, and you can find us, Sports Illustrated West Virginia, at Mountaineers Now. It's only our third name change in the last few years, but at Mountaineers Now.
All right, get at your boys. Like, listen, subscribe, rate, and review. Love us because we love you.
Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.